We're going to talk about the eighth divine secret, and that is planting the seed of God's word with intentionality. Planting the seed of God's word with intentionality. So let's look at Mark chapter 4, verse 26 down through verse 29. Let's look at it. Now notice here, it's just four verses, but it's so very, very important. And we're going to read it and then we're going to come back and dissect that thing, okay? It says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God. Now once you receive Christ, you came over into the kingdom of God. You're in God's kingdom. You're no longer in Satan's kingdom. So in God's kingdom, we have to learn how things operate in God's kingdom. So he tells us, so is the kingdom of God as if a man, watch this, and he's going to give us a beautiful analogy, like a farmer, he comes out and he casts seed into the ground. A man, the kingdom is like a man planting or casting seed into the ground. So imagine a farmer, imagine a gardener just taking seed and casting seed into the ground. Next verse. And should sleep, once the man casts seed into the ground, he should or she should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow, but he knoweth not how. Next verse. For the earth is the ground now, the earth will bring forth fruit of herself. First, that's the process, the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Before you go to the next verse, go back to 28. So we're going to look at it in a moment, but once that seed is planted in the ground, it don't end up being a tree. Okay, the next day it's a tree. No, once the seed is planted in the earth, it has a little sprout that comes up, a little sprout, and then it grows and it grows. But usually the growth is taking place below the surface of the ground. The root system is going down. Before the tree or the plant grows up, the root system is going down there. Next verse. It says, But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put in the sickle because the harvest is come. Now, let's dissect that and let's talk about this divine secret. It's going to be helpful for you personally, but it's going to be helpful for you to understand the pastoral ministry. It's going to be helpful for you to understand that we're doing some things with intentionality. We're not just coming to church. Every pastor that's anointed of the Spirit of God has an assignment. And so the subjects that he's taking through you, he or she is planting seed. Got it? To get a certain harvest in the congregation. So this key is planting the seed of God's word with intentionality. Come on, say intentionality. Now let's look at that word. Intentionality simply means with a purpose or with a goal in mind. Purpose or goal in mind. The objective is to cause a certain result or an effect. So when the gardener or the farmer plants the seed, the gardener or the farmer has a purpose in mind. They're not just scattering seed out there. They're just reaching in a bag and just scattering seed out there and hope that the right thing come up. No, purposeful, intentional. So as a believer, you got to learn how to intentionally feed yourself. You got to learn how to intentionally create a harvest. Now, I'm going to show you how to create your harvest. And then God is going to hold you responsible for creating your harvest. So let's dissect this. The scripture says first that the kingdom of God as if a man. Now, that word man is generic. It's not talking of gender there, but it's talking about an individual. So what that's talking about is human responsibility. Human responsibility. you are responsible for the harvest in your life. If you don't get a harvest in your life, and you're going to see that that's total comprehensive harvest, if you don't get a harvest in your life, it's your fault. Okay, it's whose fault? Now, I'm going to qualify that because you may be in an environment let me just say it's your fault. let me just stay right there and just say if you don't get a harvest, it is your what? It's your fault. Now notice it says that this man, Mark chapter 4, verse 26, should cast seed. The word cast, that means to plant. The man must plant seed. Should means it's necessary, it's a requirement, imperative necessity. Now, I learned this because I didn't understand the system, okay? I had an expectation that was unreasonable. Let me ask a question. How many raisin tomatoes in your backyard? One, two. Okay, you raising tomatoes in your backyard? You are to when you expecting them?
Sometime.
Sometime? When you expecting yours?
All summer.
In the fall?
All summer up until the fall.
Up until the fall?
Mine already producing, but I'm ready for some more too.
Oh, so yours already producing. Now, let me ask you, the rest of y'all got tomatoes going up in the back of your yard? Okay, let me ask you this. How many of y'all are Christians? Okay, well, why don't you pray for them? Why don't you pray for tomatoes? No, you Christians. So why don't you just pray for them?
Pray for tomatoes.
You getting ready to say something.
Because we're talking about planting the seed.
Yeah, but can't we just pray for them? Can't we just pray for the tomatoes? I mean, why we got to go through all this thing about planting seed? Why don't we Christians, we can talk to God. We can talk to God and we can get us some tomatoes. So you don't think we can pray for them?
I mean, no.
She said no. She said, I don't think, huh? Yes, but I'm saying they don't have a garden. They don't have anything in their backyard. And I want them to have a harvest too, just like y'all got a harvest. So I'm saying can't they pray for theirs? They can?
Okay.
Now, you might be a mess up my illustration. Hey, come on now. Don't be just messed up my illustration. Okay, I'm gonna get back to you. Let me get. The point that I was making, that I was gonna make, was that there are times in the church you have Christians who have an expectation for a harvest that they hadn't planted seed for.
Right.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay? And it's an unrealistic expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes us pastors, we have an expectation in the congregation to be a certain way, and we hadn't planted the seed for it.
That's good.
For example, we are experiencing change at Faith Chapel in Birmingham, and so today I began a series on Wednesday called The God of Innovation. On Wednesdays, I'm going to talk another series on Sundays in the near future called Move with the Cloud. Why? Because I want a harvest of change.
Okay.
I want people to be able to make the change, but it's unrealistic for me to expect the harvest without sowing the seeds. So what this is going to help you to understand is the pastor. In other words, we're intentional, okay? When we're planting something, we're leading you in a thing, it's a harvest we're after, okay? We're not just going from subject to subject. There's something that we want to come up in your life, okay? Now, that's from my vantage point as pastor. But from your vantage point, you have to be intentional, okay, in terms of planting seed so you can get the harvest that you need. That's where we're going in this, okay? So it says that we're responsible. A man must cast seed. Now watch this. So what is the seed? That the word seed in the Greek has a definite article in front of it, which means that there is a particular kind of seed that the man must plant. So now watch this. So what is the seed not? What is the seed not? Watch this now. The seed is not prayer. It is not what?
Prayer.
Now, prayer is the platform. Prayer has a place. But you have many Christians trying to substitute prayer for planting seed. Okay? The seed is not worship. All these things are wonderful. Worship is the only thing you can give God. That's why we encourage people to come on time, come when the service starts, because that's the only part of the service that you're going to be able to give God something. But worship, you know, here's what we say, but it's really not true. It's really not true. But we said, send the praise up and the blessings come down. You know, send the praise up and the blessings come down. Well, I mean, I know what we mean. You know what I mean? No, but praise is for God. Praise blesses God. It is for him. It's not for us. He gives us the word for us. So worship, some people, you know, they get in their automobile and they put in their worship CD or worship and they just worship the Lord. And I believe in that. I believe in worship the Lord. But I tell you, you better get some word on the inside of you.
Right.
You better get you some word on the inside of you. It's not church membership. It's not church membership. Well, I'm a member of Faith Chapel. But people in Faith Chapel have crisis. Just joining the church doesn't mean you're not going to have a crisis in your life. The seed is not church attendance, although we should attend church. The seed is not serving in the community. The seed is not holiness. Somebody said, well, you know, I don't understand because they live such a good life. We should live a good life. It undermines our witness when we don't live a good life. Does that make sense? It blesses God when we live a good life, but that's not the seed. The seed is not giving money. Money can be a seed, but in that context, the kingdom of God is if a man should cast seed. That's not talking about money. It's not talking about money. Now, listen at this. It is possible, and I'm a prosperity preacher, and I ain't ashamed of it. I believe God wants his people to prosper. And in this church, you know, if you become a part of this church, you're going to hear a lot about prosperity. You're going to hear a whole lot about it. But listen at this, it's possible to sow money and not receive a harvest. And that's what causes people to be disillusioned. They everybody said, well, just sow the money, just sow the money, just sow the money. And so you got people who are actually sowing finances and they're not all the time getting a harvest. Because that's not talking about the theme of this chapter is not money. It says, so it's possible to sow money and not get a harvest. What giving does, giving qualifies you for the harvest. It does what?
Qualifies you for the harvest.
But it's faith that connects to the promise that causes you to receive the return. Now, look at what it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, so then what? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Now, here's the deal with sowing and giving, okay? Every place in the scriptures where God says to give, he always connects a promise to it. In Malachi, when he talks about bringing tithes, he said, I open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there'll be room enough to see. I rebuke the devourer. So there's a promise connected to the tithe. When he says give to the poor, Proverbs 19:17 says, and the Lord will pay you back. Proverbs 28 said there'll be no lack. So when God tells us to give, there's always a promise connected to that. And it's faith in that promise. He says in Luke 6:30, give and it what? Shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, run it over. Mark chapter 10, it talks about giving to the gospel, you receive a hundredfold return. So every place where the scripture talks about giving, there's always a promise. Watch this, because there is no law in the scriptures of giving. It's giving and what? Receiving, giving and receiving. So it's not just the giving that causes you to it's you're connecting your faith to the promise that he made, connected to the instructions to give. Does that make sense to you? So what is the seed? What is the seed? If it's not all those things, what is the seed? The seed is the word. Look at what it says in Luke chapter 8, verse 11. It says, now the parable is this. The seed is what?
The word of God.
The seed is what?
The word of God.
So we know right away now with intentionality. We don't know how yet. We don't know how yet. But we know with intentionality that we have to be sowing the seed of the word, that we're not going to get a harvest by just praying. And I pray on a regular basis. I get up in the morning and I pray on a regular basis. So I'm big on the prayer, but you're not just going to get a harvest. Now notice the parable is this, that the seed is what?
The word of God.
What is the seed?
The word of God.
So what do we have to plant?
The word.
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 So in church, for the congregation to have a harvest, we have to be committed to planting the seed of the word. That's why in our church, we don't do a whole lot of talk about politics. I believe people should vote. Okay, but I can't plant politics. Poetry ain't planting that, okay? I'm planting the word because, see, I can have an expectation. I can have an expectation. So every time you come in there, we're going to plant that word. We're going to plant that word because the seed is the word. I can have an expectation for a harvest if I plant the word of God. If you plant the word of God into others, you can have an expectation. I was talking Sunday, and I was challenging the parents in our church, okay? And I'll share this with you. Here's what I've seen. I've seen that young people, a lot of times, we set up things like children's church and we have student ministries and all that. And then we see them come in children's ministry and they all fired up. They want to lay hands on folk and do all this kind of stuff and give. And then they go to a student kind of ministries. And then they go off to college or go off to what? And there's a gap. There is a gap. And unfortunately, many of our young people don't cross over. They just integrate into the world and the world system, and they don't really walk with God. So I was sharing with the parents, and since we got parents here today, you have a responsibility to sow the seed of the word in your children. Now, here's what I mean by that. It's good to put them in children's church, good to put them, have student ministry stuff, but the church is a support, okay? The scripture says the parent is to train up the child in the way they should go. Not the children's ministry, not student ministry, the parent. God holds us accountable. Now, listen, I don't know anything about you all. I don't know anything, so I ain't trying to put anybody down, but I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you so your kids can make the transition, okay? It's great to support them in activities. Great. My kids play volleyball. I mean, team volleyball. My daughter played team volleyball. My son played team baseball. My daughter played team baseball. They were both in the band. My daughter was the homecoming queen and all this in high school. So we were very active in their functions, okay? What I'm seeing is parents that are very active in functions, but not active in their children's spiritual growth. Now, my kids transitioned, and they were just like anybody else. They had some challenges and stuff like that, but we never dealt with drugs and alcohol and all that kind of, never dealt with that kind of stuff. Both of them are serving in ministry right now. I taught them Bible at home. They went to children's church. They went to students' ministry. But I had Bible study every week for my kids. I mean, when they were little kids and they got up, they'll tell you now. In fact, Tiffany said, I remember when we played North Ark, because we had the little baby, we kept that little baby cat, and I'll shake it, and then they'll jump in there, and I'll shake it, and stuff like that, and the storm will coming down, and we did the Father Abraham, had many sons, had Father Abraham. And listen, I get on the floor, I get on the ground, I will act out all the stuff. We had Bible study at home. My wife dealt with the homework. She handled all the homework, all the assignments. I did the Bible study at the house. I wasn't just depending. It is so very important. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know. It's not a right or wrong way. If it's just 15 minutes or whatever, you got to start sowing that seed in your kids' lives. So, because one day they're going to be gone. Okay, one day, and see, here's the deal. You can sow the seed in such a way that when they leave home, because I wanted mine to leave. Now, Amy, and not because they were bad, but I thought that's how they're going to grow up. That somewhere they got to not have all the restrictions. See, we put all the fences around them, but you're never going to know. You're never going to know until they get outside those fences.
That's right.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. We're supposed to put those fences. We're supposed to put those boundaries there. That is good. You're supposed to. We have standards. You end this time. You go this. Do this. Can't hang with this one. Can't hang with that one. But then that day they're going to step over in college. Or they're going to step somewhere else, and they're going to have nobody watching them, okay? So the boundaries have to be on the inside of them. You have to plant the boundaries on the inside of them, you know, so when they get out, they can make quality decisions. So I just feel strongly that it's so very important, not how long it is. It can be 30 minutes, it can be 10 minutes, it can be 30 minutes a week. But you've got to be doing something with them at home, putting that word on the inside of them, and then you can have a reasonable expectation. You can expect the harvest. Does that make sense to you? Okay, that was free. That was free. Okay. So the seed is the word of God. Now listen at this. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he what?
Reap.
So listen at this principle. Different kinds of seeds produce different kinds of crops. Say that.
Different kinds of seeds produce different kinds of crops.
Say it again.
Different kinds of seeds produce different kinds of crops.
Okay, so somebody tell me, this is the smart class, and if y'all don't get it right, I always call my number one student. She back there in the back. I could always call on her. You know who I'm talking about. They don't need you looking back. I call on my number one student, and she'll get it straight. So what does that mean? Different kinds of seed produce different kinds of crop. What does that mean? Oh, y'all look just like I did in that Costa County class. Y'all look like... Okay, what does that mean? Different kinds of seed produce different kinds of crops. What does that mean? Don't think deep. Different kinds of seed produce different kinds of crops. What does that mean?
Well,
okay.
Oh.
Oh, she cheating, y'all. She cheating. You're cheating. Yes.
It produces a different thing.
It produces different things. So, listen. Different. Come on, lay it on me. Okay, so different kinds of seeds produce what?
Different types of crops.
He said different kinds of things produce different kinds of crops. So if we sow plums, we get what?
Plums.
If we sow apple seeds, we get?
Apples.
If we sow flower seeds, we get?
Flowers.
If we sow money, we get?
Money.
If we sow human seeds, we get? It's still the same. It's still the same. Yeah, you sow human seeds, you're going to get humans. And we don't want to sow human seeds until it's time to sow human seeds. Got that, teenagers? We don't want to sow human seeds until it's time to get humans. Because you can't pray it away. You can't sow the seed and believe God to not get the crop. Right?
Right?
Okay, now that's the natural principle. But spiritually, it's the same thing. Right? So spiritually, what does that mean? Come on, talk to me. Spiritually, what does it mean? How do I apply that spiritually? No, you're cheating. You're cheating. Yeah, you're cheating. You're cheating. You know why I said they're cheating? Because they've been with me at Faith Chapel. They've been with me at Faith Chapel. So just be quiet because y'all are just cheating. Y'all are just cheating. What does that mean? Columbus, what does that mean?
Like what she said.
No, you're cheating. You're cheating. You're cheating. Okay. How do we apply that principle? If I want a apples, I sow apple seeds, okay? If I want plums, I sow plum seed. If I want tomatoes, I sow tomato seed. If I want flowers, I sow flower seeds, right? So if I want flowers, I can't sow plum seed.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If I want healing, sow healing.
No, you're cheating.
Oh.
Think yourself.
Huh? Then when you at Faith Chapel?
Yeah,
you're cheating. Yes. Yes.
So you want to sow God's word. Don't say negative stuff. Say what God's word says about your situation.
Yeah, but we want to get specific about it. Okay, we want to, okay, yes.
If you want to increase in love, like the way you interact with people.
Yes.
You got to study scripture about love.
Yes. Okay, so if you want to develop your love in your life, then you want to listen to sermons or teachings or lessons on the subject of love. Because when you plant that seed, then you're going to get a harvest of love. Now, if you want healing, you got to plant what kind of seed? In other words, if you want healing, then you got to listen to CDs, read books, tapes, whatever, however you do it, MP3s, whatever, on the subject of healing. And if you want prosperity, I struggle with prosperity in my life. It was like I saw it, but I couldn't get to it. I listened to a CD on prosperity, one CD, 364 days in a row. I wanted to build that on the inside of my spirit. So there was a time that's all I listened to was prosperity because that's where I was struggling at. So if it's healing, you got to listen to that. If it's marriage and you want to harvest in marriage, you got to listen to that. Does that make sense? So now you got to be intentional. So a lot of times people just listening to all kinds of stuff, but they want to harvest in a certain area. So you, whenever I'm making decisions, somebody come up and say, I want you to pray for me to make I got to make this decision. I give them a series on making wise decisions. Because when I'm thinking about decision making, I have to sow that kind of seed. Does that make sense to anybody? Come on, Kim, ask a question if they're hard. Is that hard?
No.
Okay. Now, huh?
Then you have to act on it. Like you have to use.
Action is automatic. When I say automatic, it is par for the course. In other words, anything you listen to, you got to act on. The intentional part about, and you're right, the intentional part about it is I got to be purposeful in how I plant. You understand what I'm saying? So the pastor may be teaching on something, but I may be struggling with healing. Or the pastor may be teaching on one subject, but I need a harvest in something else. So you can actually get your own harvest. And the scripture says, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap what?
Sparingly.
If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap what? So you can see how Christians are many times missing it because they have an unreasonable expectation. They are praying about something that they ain't listening to nothing in that area. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you? This is very, very important. And then the scripture says that we have to get it in the ground. You can't have a bag of seed and put the bag of seed on the ground. No, you got to get it out of the bag, out of the Bible, and then you got to put it in the ground. The ground is your heart, and it can't be just in your head. So you got Christians, they memorize scripture, but they haven't taken the time to meditate on it and get it down in their what? Heart. Now, look at Proverbs. Let's look at Proverbs 4. And I want you to see something that the heart of man, your spirit, your spirit man is the earth, it's the ground. Okay, you got to get the word from here down in here. Now, if you get the word from here to here, it's going to be what is called mental assent. But it has no force to it. See, you can take the seed and just lay it on the ground, but it ain't going to produce. You got to get the seed where? And so your spirit. Man, your spirit, your heart is the production center. In other words, you got to get this in here. And I'm not talking about the blood pump in your heart. I'm talking about your spirit. You got to get the spirit food, spiritual seed, and you got to plant it here. So this verse tells us how to do it. Look at what it says. Proverbs 4. My son, attend to my what?
Words.
Incline thine ear unto my
sayings.
Ear. Let them not depart from thine
eyes.
Keep them in the midst of thine
heart.
For they are life to those that find them, health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all, for out of it are the
issues of
the forces of life. Now watch this. And put away from thee a froward
mouth.
So if you notice now, how do I get the word from here down in my spirit? I have to hear it, I see it, I talk it. Hear it, see it, talk it. So this how I do my Bible study. Now, no, it's not a right or wrong way. It's not a right or wrong way, okay? But when I do my quiet time, I read the scriptures out loud. I read different translations. I go through the New Testament and using different translations. So my quiet time, normally the first, I got a morning quiet time, and I got a whenever you can get to it the rest of the way. Like this morning, I got up at 5:30. I prayed about an hour, and then I got in the Word. In my quiet time, I took this translation called the Tree of Life translation. Sometime I'll do the Message Bible, sometime I'll do the Amplified, sometime I'll do international version, just different versions, but now I'm in the Tree of Life. So I'm over in the book of Matthew, so I'll be reading through the scripture in my quiet time. See, I prayed for about an hour, and then after I prayed for about an hour, move that right there, when I prayed for about an hour, I just sat there. I sat there. I'm learning to just sit for a minute, at least about 10 minutes, and don't say nothing. Okay. Sometimes we talk too much.
That's right.
See, we talk the whole time. We talk the whole time in our prayer time. We talking the whole time. So I'll sit there, and I'll just kind of get quiet. And this is the way it sounds. You hear that? You hear that? That's the way it sounds. Because Peter's probably asleep. I may be up in my office, just the way it sounds. I'm just. You know why that's important? So what you hear, sometimes nothing. But I'm learning to quiet myself because we're so busy. You'll never learn how to hear from God, and you'll never learn how to be led by the Spirit if you end up got a lot of noise. So I'll read through the scripture. I'm planting the seed of the word. This is my devotional time. My devotional time, and I'm reading the word. So it's the kingdom of God. See, I'm reading it out loud because I know you plant the seed of the word with your mouth. You plant it with your ear. So I want to hear it. So it's the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. I'm doing my whole quiet time like that. I'm reading all my scriptures just loud enough for me to hear it, because faith comes by
hearing.
Got it? Then another part of my quiet time when I go to work now, I put in a CD on the way to work, so I'm hearing. See, I'm building it into my spirit. Now, I want to walk in health. I want to walk in health. So every now and then, I'll spend just that season listening to stuff on healing and health. Don't wait till you got a physical challenge. It's hard to build a house in the rain. So I want to have a season. It may just be a short season, no length of time, short season. Well, that's all I'm listening to is healing. That's all I'm listening to it. If I got a faith challenge, something I'm believing God for, I'm going to listen to faith series because I want my faith strong. I got to be able to believe God, so I'm listening to that. If I wanted my marriage to keep my marriage strong, then I'm going to read or listen to stuff like that. Why? Because different kinds of seeds will produce different kinds of crops. Different kinds of seeds produce different kinds of crops. And I'm responsible for my harvest. You're responsible for your harvest. So when you understand that, you see, if I got a stronghold in my life, and I had a stronghold of poverty in my life. I just had a stronghold of poverty. So I had to listen to teaching on prosperity a whole lot. That's For a period of time, that's all I listened to. Every time I go to a convention, I get the prosperity stuff. And that's all I was listening to. Because I got to believe for stuff, not just for me. I got to believe for stuff for the church. So I got to have faith in my heart. And the only way I get faith in my heart is by sowing the seed, by looking at it. I look at the scriptures. I'm hearing it. I'm speaking the word. And I'm getting it down in my spirit. And my heart is the production center. Does that make sense to anybody? Am I talking to anybody? I ain't got but a few more minutes. So listen at this. The scripture says in verse 27 that once the seed is planted in the heart, then the man can sleep and rise night and day. And then it says the seed should spring up and grow. Watch this. He knoweth not how. So now once you spent time planting the seed of the word on the inside of your heart, you can rest. If you're diligent to plant the seed, but you're not seeing a harvest, probably one or two things is happening. One or two things. You're worrying, because worry will pull up your seed. Okay? Unforgiveness, if there's any unforgiveness in your life, unforgiveness and worry will shut the word down. It'll just shut it down. So you can't let stuff get on inside. Don't let people get on the inside of you. Quickly forgive them. Stand up and forgive them and release them. Don't hold grudges because you working on a harvest. You ain't got time to let folk get on the inside of you. So be quick to forgive, quick to release people to keep your heart free. You want to keep your heart because that's your production center. So if you're worrying now, that's going to shut it down. Because you can't worry and be in faith at the same time. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Now watch this. The Bible says the seed should spring up and grow. He knoweth not how. Now, a lot of people say, well, how that's going to work? You know, how am I going to just plant the seed, the word in me, and it's going to produce a harvest? Well, there's a lot of things in life that you don't know how it works. Mm-hmm. How many of you work on computers? Let me see your hand. Do you understand it? Now, if you actually build computers, you understand it. How many of y'all understand email? You understand it? Not how to do it. Do you understand it? How many understand the microwave, how you can put something on the inside of there, and then how many understand that? How many understand how the automobile works? How many understand how you can put a few numbers in a calculator and they come back with the answer? Y'all know that? How many understand how you can, a little tube, like that tube right there, can grab pictures out of the sky, bring it down, and you watch a football game, and the football game is 2,000 miles away, and them people right in your tube. How many understand that? You don't understand. There are a lot of things you don't understand, but you grab that little remote, and you push that little remote, and you expect it to happen, but you don't have a clue how that worked. The Bible says, sow the seed. You're not going to know how it works. You don't need to know how it works. All you need to know is that it works. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And then the next verse said, the earth will bring forth fruit of herself. Of herself means automatic. Once you get it in there, it's going to produce automatically. Now look at Matthew 12:35. We almost finished. Look at Matthew 12:35. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring forth what?
Good things.
Now I'm going to say something that's going to sound like blasphemy. It's going to sound like blasphemy. But what does that verse? Does that verse say that God is bringing good things? No, it says a good man out of the deposit of his heart, he's bringing forth
good things.
Then say God, although we know God is the source, but you make the deposit in your heart and your mouth will bring the good things to you. Does that make sense to you? Anybody getting anything out of that? Now listen at this and I'm through. And then I want to find out what you got out of the lesson today. Tell me what I mean. The ground will not argue with you.
What you get out of
it? What do I mean by that? The ground will not argue with you.
What you put into is what you get out.
Yes.
You reap, you sow.
So what do I mean the ground won't argue with you?
It's going to tell you what you're doing. How
you
doing
it? Okay.
You're free to just put whatever it is in the ground. You're free to do it. There's going to be no resistance. Whatever you plant, it's like if you're planting good, that's what the ground's going to take. But if you're planting bad, that's what the ground's
right.
Gonna take.
So if you plant apple seeds, but you meant to plant flowers, the ground ain't going to say, hey. The ground ain't going to say, hey, that's not what you intended.
That's true.
All right? So watch this. I'm not against TV and all that, okay? But if all that you plan is TV, all you plan is stuff in your heart ain't gonna argue with you. Whatever you plan in you, whatever you listen to, whatever you speak, whatever you go in your heart, what you sowing, and that's what's happening a lot of times in the music area. Let me tell you something about music. I'm not one of those people who believe that the only music you can listen to is Christian. I'm not one of those, okay? I think there are different kinds of music. I think lyrics have a lot to do with it. But I'm telling you, music can be dangerous. If you're constantly sowing violence and stuff and lust and stuff, and you're constantly hearing that and hearing that and hearing that and hearing that, your heart ain't gonna argue with you. That's what it's gonna produce. It's gonna end up producing. Once I learned that, I could, with intentionality, guard my ear, make sure the right thing is sowing into me, so that I can get the kind of harvest that I got. Amen. Amen.